Second Chronicles chapter 10. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had to come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon. Then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made you our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Come to me again in 3 days." So the people went away. The king, Rehoboam, took counsel with the old men who stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" And they said to him, "If you will be good to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, "What do you advise that I answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us.' Thus shall you say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered them harshly and forsaking the counsel of the old men. The king, Rehoboam, spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by God, that the Lord might fulfill his word, which he spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw the king had did not listen to them, the people answered to the king, "What portion have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Each of you to your tents, O Israel. Look now to our house David." So all Israel went to their tents. Let's say our descriptive declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
All right. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, worship team. Thank you all for being a part of things, but I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our kids to go back with Miss Kenya. She's going to be teaching and going through things with them on their level, and if you have your scriptures and you'd like to kind of keep those open, I am going to be referring to this passage of scripture that Paul just read. Now, where have we been? We're talking about coming to life, and I'm going to kind of do a hybrid today. Usually on a graduate Sunday, you tend to be like, okay, I'm going to do this graduation commencement, you know, address or whatever. It's not going to be that. But what I do want to do is I do want to give some advice that I would give kind of to graduates, but I would also 100% give it to you as well. Because the truth of the matter is that the things that I'm going to share today, I believe, are just as important for you and I as they are for those who are graduating and kind of trying to find a new path. We're talking about coming to life and living in Technicolor, and we've shared this before. before, but you may or may not have seen it, just depending on when you were able to be here. But you can see this next slide here. We have shared this with you over and over and over again. This is our one to remember, and that is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And I talk about this. This is not really even just a hey, I hope this is true. This is a declaration of truth from God's word. It is reminding you that whenever you put your faith and trust in Christ, you become a new creation, and the things that were before have now passed away. I've shared this with you every single time that we've been sharing this Living in Technicolor theme and message series. So let's go to our next slide. And as we do, we're reminded, you guys might remember that this is not the first time color showed up on the screen as far as TV shows or movies or anything like that. But you guys all know where this is, right? On the count of three, it is the what movie? One, two, three. All right, very good. Y'all are awake. I'm going to hold you to it, okay? So this was actually shot in Technicolor. And if you don't know what that is, there was a film that they shot that included color. And you can see how vibrant and how kind of pops everywhere with all of the different blues, greens, and especially the reds just really being super vibrant. But if you've ever, how many of y'all have ever seen The Wizard of Oz? Any of y'all in here? Okay, so if you know the story and if you've seen the movie, there is a first part of the movie, and that is all in this sepia tone. It's all in this gray, kind of goldish, grayish, black and white. But what's incredibly interesting about this is that the film that you're looking at right there is actually also shot in Technicolor film. But they came back and they added in the sepia tone later to make sure that they were trying to do the whole, you know, Dust Bowl of Kansas, the whole Twister tornado coming and grabbing Dorothy and whisking her off to Oz. Sorry, spoiler alert. I mean, it's only like a, I don't know, 80-year-old movie, but you know what I'm saying, okay? So here you are. You have a world in Technicolor, and yet somewhere along the line, they added in the blue, the grays, and they took out all the color and the vibrancy. And this goes hand in hand with the idea of being a new creation in Christ, of being a person who has been said of by Jesus, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it to its fullest. But you and I make the decision of how much of God we want in our lives. And so if we constantly push him out and push him to the edges, we give them in these little bitty footholds, it should not be a surprise that our life is not vibrant with the color that God wants to give us. So we've been talking about coming to life, and I want to share a little bit more today as we move forward. So let's keep going, and let's talk about this. Don't miss this. In Christ, abundant life is available, but abundant life is not automatic. And again, I've shared this with you every single time that we've shared from this teaching series. Let's go to our next slide, and let's cover some new ground. In the nation of Israel, the temple that was built by Solomon was a great source of national pride, as was his godliness and his incredible wisdom. If you remember, the story of Solomon is that he was asked by God, what would you have me do for you to show and express my love and devotion to you? And God knew that most people he asked that question, they would be like, make me rich, make me rich. I know it's all changed, we're not that way anymore, but that's how most were back in the day. Or they would say, you know what, I want to crush my enemies. I want to make sure that I'm the most powerful king in the world. But he did not ask for either one of those things. Instead, he asked for wisdom. And in the process of that, God was very pleased with him because he said, you have not asked for what most people ask for. And because of that, I will give you all the wisdom that you have asked for, but I am also going to throw in on top of that the riches that you didn't ask for, and that your enemies will literally fall in front of you and they will be subject to you all because of your good decision and your good choice. This is a little foreshadowing on my part. The idea of life being a choice that we continually make the better ones, we have a whole lot less regrets and less problems later. So here we see from the ancient world, people, they sought his insights, they sought Solomon's wisdom. He wrote the book of Proverbs and also Ecclesiastes. He was incredibly wealthy, but the building of the temple was a long and very taxing project, literally and figuratively, okay? In other words, lots of taxes went into funding that thing that was being built. A lot of people had to work on that thing to be built. And they took great national pride, but they came to a point where they were just too tired and too burned out to keep on going. And this is kind of where we see ourselves in this story that Paul read from 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Let's keep moving here. Who are the players? Real quickly, Solomon is the king of Israel and the son of David. So that's very important because he was in the line that God had chosen to bless. But Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon. He's the one who made the bad decision, if you understood and were listening. And then Jeroboam, he was the man who was prophesied by Ahijah to be a man who would later be king in Israel. And he was banished by Solomon to Egypt. Get rid of your enemies. Keep them further away if you possibly can. That was the concept. So let's keep moving. Here we see Jeroboam return from Egypt, and they sent and they called him, and Jeroboam and all of Israel came to Rehoboam and said, "Your father made our yoke heavy. We've been working on this project for a long time. It has cost us a lot, and it has taxed us to the max, and we can't keep going at this rate. And then, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." And then he said to them, "Come back to me again in 3 days." Now, have any of y'all ever said that, something like that? It's like, you know, you got a big decision. You're like, "I'm not making this decision in this moment. I want to make it when I've had a little bit of time to think about it, consider it, weigh my options, maybe do a pros and cons list. I don't know." And he said, "Come back to me in 3 days." This is showing us he knows this is a big deal. This is a big choice and a big decision that he is about to make. So the people go away. Let's keep moving as we share a little bit more. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was united in a golden age during the reign of Saul, David, and Solomon. But then when Solomon dies, his son Rehoboam, this man who says, "Come back to me in 3 days," they were ready to revolt at this point, and he's got the answer right here. One way or another, what will they do? As Rehoboam had the chance to solidify their support, he makes a selfish choice that cost him half of his kingdom. It's probably even more than half. The kingdom of Israel was made up of 12 tribes. 10 went one way, and 2 stayed faithful to Rehoboam. It was a huge turning point in all of Israel's history. Now, do you see why I'm sharing this on Graduate Sunday? These are milestone moments that come to us, and sometimes we make these decisions. We have opportunities, and we don't even realize how big and how important they are. Can I just share with you, you guys know that I've got kids that are, you know, scattered all across the nation, all right? I've got 3 kids. I got 1 in Michigan, 1 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then 1 in Oklahoma City. The 2 in Tulsa and Oklahoma City, one met their husband of 6 years already, who also, by the way, had the best grandchild in the whole entire world. I just wanted y'all to keep it straight. And then the other is getting married in July. Tatum is getting married in July in Tulsa. So when they made a decision to go off to school, they met their future husbands at the school that they chose. Now, I don't think that they thought to themselves, "I can't wait, gonna meet my husband when I go off, looking for my MRS degree." No, that wasn't them, all right? I promise it was not. They found them in the place that they had made another decision. Now, I'm going to slow down here for just a quick second. How many of you guys have ever seen that one decision leads to another decision that leads to another decision? And sometimes you know you've made a bad one at the beginning, and it seems like it just seems to keep snowballing downhill, more and more and more bad decisions. But on the flip side, if you can make a good decision, it seems easier to make a better decision and then another good decision and another good decision. You see, for most of us, we think that life is happening to us. But sometimes we, like Rehoboam, get this sense like, "Man, this is probably a big deal. I'm probably at a crossroads here, and I can kind of feel it. And I need to slow down here, and I need to make a good choice instead of an easy choice or a choice that I will regret later." And a lot of the time, whenever you find yourself at that crossroads, I will just tell you, I've made good decisions at those crossroads, and I've made bad decisions at those crossroads. Can I get an amen if it's just not just me, all right, amen? Oh, is it just me? Come on, y'all. I mean, y'all are like, "Oh, yeah, amen. Really, really quiet, amen. No, all right, whatever." You guys know, I know, we know that it is hard sometimes to make a good decision in the moment because we have that thing that we want to do, and yet it's difficult. We have that thing that pulls us towards what is right, but it is hard to follow up and follow through. So here's what I would share with you as we talk about this. Here's our big idea, and I want to just share this with you. We come to life by building our life for things that reach beyond ourselves, if we can never get past what I want to do in the moment, if we can never get past, you know, this is easier, so this is what I'll do. If we can never leave that behind, then we will always struggle with every decision that we make and all of the fallout that comes from those decisions that we make. So I just encourage you, understand, we come to life by building our life for things that reach beyond ourselves. Can you guys say that with me on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. We come to life by building our life for things that reach beyond ourselves. And that is so true. Let's keep moving. As we go to our next slide, I kind of hear, I'm going to do some grad-style advice, but I want to share it with you all. And I want to just tell you, one of the most important days on my calendar every single year is not January 1st, although that's a big day for me. I have a personal new year. I was driving along just incredibly frustrated, disappointed, aggravated at myself because I was just, it almost felt like in every area of my life I was less than I wanted to be and I was less than I was proud of. And I can tell you the day, I can even take you to the Starbucks on Ella at 610 where I stopped and just sat in the back with a cup of coffee and a stack of papers and just started writing stuff down about how I wanted to be a different person and how I wanted to be better than I was. That date was October 5th. And every year since that, about 10 years ago now, I have reset my goals personally on October 5th. It's my own personal New Year's Day. Now, you may be like, why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? Here's why I'm saying that. Because if you find yourself at a point of frustration and at a point of need, and you know that God is laying change on your heart, it does not have to be, I'm waiting till Monday, or I'm gonna get that nailed down Sunday when I'm in God's house. It doesn't have to be anything other than, I am going to stop what I'm doing, I'm gonna listen to God, and I'm gonna respond, and I'm gonna take a move towards what I know He is calling me to do and to be. So you have a day today that you're hearing about this, and I hope this will be a catalyst moment. Yeah, it's like May 19th. There's nothing special. It's not the end of the month. It's not the beginning of the month. It's just today. But you can make it a day that changes everything for your direction if you will make it a day that you use the catalyst that God throws in your path. And you say, I'm going to respond in such a way that I know that God is pleased and I'm moving the direction that He's pulling me in rather than resisting and just continuing to live the way that I live. So here's what I would say. Today, here are four things I want to share with you, and I'm going to hit them quick. So real quickly, first, you commit to being a lifelong learner. As we go past this, we go to our next slide, we see something that might freak you out. All right, I'll get there in a minute, but how many of you guys know the story that I'm being depicted right here? There's like three different depictions. It is the tortoise and the what? Yeah, not the rabbit, it's the hare. I don't know why that is, but that is true. Like three different descriptions, three different depictions of it. There's Bugs Bunny, which is my personal favorite because I'm old, right? So there you are, and you guys remember the story, especially this bottom one here, where the rabbit is so far in advance and so far ahead that he realizes that he's got time to take a nap. So he takes a nap, and who wins the race? It's the tortoise. Our world loves the rabbit. Our world disdains the tortoise. But this is around and has so many different stories and retellings of it because there is so much truth to it. Now, I didn't tell them I was going to do this, and I didn't necessarily plan to do this, but I have some of my best friends in the world here sitting back there next to my lovely bride. This is Mike and Tina Butler, friends of ours since we lived back in Tulsa way back in the day. Tatum lived with them and was there as they were interning and working there in Owosso, and it's been great to have them. They have been subjected to spending a couple of days with me, so pray for them. They said, we're leaving immediately after church. I don't think the two are related. That's what I keep telling myself. But what I was amazed to hear was Mike and Tina sharing where they began their life. I know that their life now is one that most of us would love to have. Been married for a long time, still in love with the person that they met in college, doing amazing things, going amazing places, got five beautiful granddaughters, That's what I like. I mean, all these daughters, you know. And so all of these things that they have going in their life, and they were telling yesterday of their humble beginnings and where they began. For most of us, we want to be the rabbit. We want to have everything, and we want to have it all right now. But for most of us, when we have something quickly and easily, we don't realize how much we do not honor what we have. And for most of us who are a little older, we realize where we were is not where we are, thank God. And where we started is not where we are finishing, thank God. And over and over and over again, I want to share with you, it does not matter if somebody is rushing ahead and it feels like you are falling behind. Graduates, adults, it does not matter who is listening to this advice. Don't get caught up in trying to be the hare. Just grow each and every day and be a person who is a lifelong learner who never gives up. You will not be required to go to school. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to start paying for it if you go any further, right? But you will choose to grow. It is not going to be forced upon you. So be a lifelong learner and make that choice. Let's go to our next slide. This freaks me out a little bit. King Rehoboam stands before the group. He is 42 years old. Now, when they said he was there talking to all the people, I kind of saw him as like 20. Did y'all see him as like 20, or is it just me? In my mind's eye, I was thinking, man, he made a stupid decision, but what do you expect of a 20-year-old? He's 42 years old and makes the dumb decision. What does that tell you? It tells you that he has had a lot of things given to him, and he's never really had to work through his own decisions and make a good decision on his own. And for you and for me, we just need to keep making good decision after good decision, small one, small one, small one, small one, and we're amazed at how much God can use that. But for most of us, we don't have the discipline to just keep going and just keep making the right small decision over and over and over. Now, here's where I tell you, if y'all will give me a good amen, I'll keep moving. Can I get a good amen on that one? All right. So just keep moving in the right direction. Let's keep moving. Jim Carrey had a great word. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous, do everything they ever dreamed of, so they can see that it's not the answer. Isn't that amazing? Somebody who has it all in this world's eyes has realized that that's not really what's going to bring you success and not any happiness and joy. Let's keep moving. As we go to our next slide, secondly, pay attention to your influences. I think that's what jumps out in this story. He goes to the older group, he goes to the younger group, and he follows the advice of the younger group rather than the older group. And when that happens, he loses literally something that his father and his father's father had been working for literally decades, 40, 50 years, all evaporated in one bad decision, all done because he listened to the wrong influences in his life. Now, here's what I want to share with you as we move on to our next slide. We see it here. You know what? Let's keep moving because I've already shared it and shared that story as we keep moving. Oh, well, let's just stay right there for a minute. My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. That's a good Texas kind of statement, right? It's like, hey, man, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's what it's basically saying. That's the new Texas version. He's like, you think he was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm about to really stick it to you because I want all that money too. Interesting. As we keep moving to our next slide, don't miss this. When you're looking for advice and insight, choose the timeless and not the timely. When you're looking for insight and advice and counsel, go to somebody who has done it for a while, not somebody who's the loudest voice, not somebody who seems to have their finger on the pulse of the most recent thing, but instead go to someone and say, if I end up in that kind of a life, I could be happy with that, and then let them speak to you about where you should be going and how you should be moving in that direction. Let's keep moving, and we go on. Do any of you guys know about this? Y'all know who that is? As you see that picture, that is Harry S. Truman, president of the United States in the 1930s or 40s, right around there in that area. And what is he holding up? He's holding a paper that says, Dewey defeats Truman. That's the Chicago Tribune that literally got it wrong. They printed thousands and thousands and thousands of papers, and eventually Harry S. Truman, president of the United States, winner over Dewey, holds up the paper and says, I guess they got it quicker, but they didn't actually get it right. So pursue the timeless and not the timely. And can I just throw this out there? It takes about that long to put up a Twitter post or a Facebook post or an Instagram post, and it takes months and years and even decades sometimes to write a book. So which one are you going to listen to? Which one are you going to put more weight on? Because, you know, little quirky sayings can be funny. They can be sounding good, but they're not always really good advice. And by the way, everything happens for a reason. I don't know if I always believe that, because a lot of the time, everything can be used for good according to the Romans 8:28 principle if we know the Lord. But here's what I would say. A lot of the time, that everything happens for a reason is a good way to say, I made a really bad mistake and now I'm dealing with all these consequences. I'd like to soften the blow. So everything happens for a reason, right? Is that too much? Is that too much truth? It's right. It's true. And can I tell you something? The best way to learn something is by somebody else making the mistake, taking all the bruises, taking all the lumps, and you saying, I'm not going to do that same thing. I'm going to go in a different direction. You get the lesson, and they take the lumps. That's how we do it. Let's keep going. Here, as we go to this next slide, thirdly, life is about so much more than just what pleases you in the moment. And I am moving very quickly here. It's just one single slide past this. It's just this. Following the path of least resistance is what makes rivers and men crooked. So if you want your life to be on the path that you would like for it to be on, most of the time, the good decision is the one that's the hardest one to make, and it is the one that you will pay back later, not in the moment. Following the path of least resistance makes men and rivers crooked. Let's keep going to our fourth bit of advice that I would give to grads, but also for all. You're going to need a foundation that sustains you when everything is shaken. Now, here's what I know. I don't know a lot, but I've been side by side with many people as they go through life. Here's what I know. When you're young, you think you have it all figured out. When you're young, you think it will never happen to you. When you're young, you think that day is never going to come for you with your name on it. You guys know, within the last year, a thing that I never thought would happen, it has happened. And that is, my wife got a cancer diagnosis. I did not think that that would ever happen until about 5 seconds before I got the news. I know that sounds like I'm not very smart, but that's exactly true. I ran into that room, literally ran into the room, and they said, well, it's cancer. And that's one of those things that happens to you and you just go, I did not see that coming. Sometimes it's a pink slip from work. Sometimes it's a cancer diagnosis. Sometimes it's a death of a loved one. Sometimes it's something in your own life where you just break, and what you used to be able to do, you just simply can't do anymore. Sometimes it is your own physical body that gives up on you. But I'm here to tell you, most of the time, between about age 35 and 45, you will deal with something that you do not have the strength in and of yourself to deal with. And that is when you will say to yourself, God, help me. I don't have the answers that I thought I had. And when that happens, it is so good to know, A, that even if you've wandered, God has not left you. Can I get an amen on that? I know some of y'all know. Some of y'all know. And then some of you need to hear, when that day finds you, no matter how far you have been from God, reach out, because he is ready to reach back out to you. It is the thing that sustains us. It is the thing that gives us purpose, meaning, and it is the thing that carries us through when our strength is not enough. Do not ever forget that the God who made you loves you no matter what you've done. You need him as your foundation that sustains when everything is shaken. Let's go to our next slide, and I'm going to go ahead and ask the worship team to come on up. So King Rehoboam, he chose to do evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. For all of us, this is where it all begins and this is where it all ends. Because the truth is that you will make a decision and I will make a decision. That I will choose to give my heart to the Lord, or I will choose to rebel and go my own way and take the easy path rather than the one that is hard and yet the one that brings purpose, meaning, peace, and joy. And so, as Rehoboam has a father who literally has written biblical books, as he has a grandfather who is the one who is known as the man after God's own heart. He made a choice to walk away from the heritage and the legacy that he had and walk in his own way. And probably, if I'm guessing, almost every single one of you have heard of King David. Almost every single one of you have heard of King Solomon. But probably very, very few of you have ever heard of the name Rehoboam, because he's just one more in a long line of people who just lived for themselves and never truly made an impact. If you want your life to matter, it's not by you and I choosing what we want. It is finding what God has for us and following that path above all other things. So how do you apply this message? I've got two ways, and I'm going to hit them very quickly. Let's go to the I apply by. You commit to constantly seeking God. That means you are in the Word of God. It means you're attending and being involved in the church and the church family, not just showing up, but connecting to the church, and that you're listening to godly counsel, not just counsel. And then you start challenging the scripts that everyone is giving you, whether it's a slogan that is not really true, but it sounds good. You start challenging that and talking back to that rather than just going, oh, okay, well, I guess I've heard it so many times, it must be true. The truth is what the truth is, and many times it's not to be found whenever people are out there just trying to get you to listen to them and go in a different direction. So here's what I would say: true fulfillment and pride. Start talking back to those things that push you in a different direction, and instead make a decision that takes you down the path where you are walking with the Lord, that sustaining foundation that you and I both desperately need at all times, and sometimes in ways that we can barely even put into words. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he loves you. He's watching for the prodigal son to come back home. He wants to bring you back into his house and love you as the son or daughter that you are. Heavenly Father, may we never stray from you. But Lord, if we have found ourselves as people who have strayed, what we ask is that you would welcome us back and that you would allow us to once again make a good decision. Make a choice that brings us back into the fold and back to the foundation that we cannot survive without. Lord, you are our God. We want to build our lives around you, around your word, around your truth, around your presence, and do those things that bring glory and honor to you. God, be with us. Help us to make these choices and decisions in this time and in this moment. So real quickly, before you raise your head from this prayer, and I'm asking everybody to please keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. And this is just between you and the Lord, but I'd like to be praying for you. This is not going to be something that I call you out or call your name or anything of that nature. But if you know that maybe you've gone a different direction and you're going in a way that kind of takes you away from where God would have you to be, can I pray with you that you might be returning to the Father from this day forward, that this might be your catalyst moment to return home? Is there one here today who would just simply lift your hand and say, you know what, the Lord is speaking to me and I do feel like I'm wandering and I just want him to bring me back home and show me the way to walk. Is there one? May God bless you. I thank you. May God bless you. Thank you so much. Anyone else here today? I just thank you so much. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands that have been raised and you love each and every one of them. May they, Lord, turn to you, and they may they pursue the things that you have for them in their life. In Jesus' name we pray.